Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bottoming, the LGBTQ mental health podcast about rock bottoming and beyond. Kindly sponsored by Joe Malone London.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BottomingPod or visit bottomingpodcast.com for more content relating to each episode.
We've also added a support page to the website to direct you to the right place if you're struggling or need someone to talk to.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts. Hi, I'm Brendan.
And I am Matthew, and our pronouns are he and him.
And we're back from a little bit of a break.
Yeah, you are listening to Bottoming. It is the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, our guest today is the gorgeous, stunning, beautiful, iconic pop icon.
Keep it going.
Self-esteem. We are absolutely gagged to be able to speak to her. So stay tuned, because that is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
As Brendan said, we have been away for a little while. It was a bit longer than we anticipated it to be.
Well, yeah, we're just going to do episode after episode and just carry on the season. But time and events don't go like that, do they?
So we didn't come back and do the end of year review for New Year like we were going to.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll go into that in a bit. Before we do, how are you?
I am okay, actually. It is a bit awkward to get back into this again. It feels...
It's been so long.
It feels so long, doesn't it? I think we had a very similar size break between season two and season three anyway. Mm-hmm. So this is, yeah, it was because it was unexpected. And now coming back, it's still been on the cards whether we were coming back at this point anyway. So, I don't know, it feels a bit of, like an out-of-body experience at the minute.
Mm.
But generally, I've been okay. I moved house, I think, since the last episode went out. I hadn't found a place.
Oh, yeah, true.
And I love the two girls I'm living with, Esme and Sean. Mm-hmm. And they're a gorgeous, gorgeous pair.
Cats.
And the cats, which they're actually leaving.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come on, this is meant to be bringing me off this episode.
Sorry, yeah. Well, we fostered them, so this is going to their forever home. They're not going back to, like, the pound or wherever they go.
Not the pussy's going to pass out. Stop, that is awful. Continue anyway.
Wow. So they're going to the forever home in a couple of weeks, so we'll make the most of them while they're here. And oh, actually, I actually did a gorgeous detox at the weekend in the form of violent food poisoning. It was horrible. It was horrible from midnight to 8 a.m. Just complete vomitorium.
And so what was it that caused that?
I think just a disease of some sort.
You don't think it was how many 8 sausage rolls you had in one sitting?
18.
8?
18.
You had 18?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you said 8.
No, it was 18.
18.
18 mini sausage rolls.
Asda, this is on you.
Asda.
Oh, or possibly KFC that you had after that.
I did have KFC after that.
But why are we having this intense week?
Oh. Because... Yeah, I turn my birthday.
You turn 30. So yeah, it was gorgeous, wasn't it? Actually,
it was birthday. Really fun. Yeah, we went to Bright in Hackney, and it was delicious.
It was delicious.
So delicious. Tried oysters for the first time.
Mm. Which we must say, that was not the cause of food poisoning.
I don't know, because I read online. It can be at bay for at least 1 to 2 days before it comes up.
Was that a pun?
No, but well, it's good fun.
Seaside.
It can be harbouring inside you for a couple of days before it comes out. I've had some things harbour inside me, but this is the first that's come back out so violently.
I've said it to you enough already, but...
happy birthday for me. Well, that's nice, thanks.
New year, new you.
New year, new... Well,
new decade.
Do you feel like there's a new version of you coming out? To play?
So, I'm the reason that we didn't come back. We had a longer break. After we released the last episode, I had a trip home.
Mm-hmm.
I had a breakdown. not strictly because of that, a combination of things. Obviously, the recording theme throughout every single episode last year was that I was stressed for a variety of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I... definitely hit breaking point. So I've actually was signed off work and started antidepressants the first time, which is something we've discussed in previous episodes, but I've never felt like I needed.
Mm.
So I'm still in counselling at the moment, which has been a lifesaver. But yeah, I had to speak to my GP because I hit a point that I've never felt before.
Mm.
And considering before this, I would say 2017 was like the worst year. I think even though professionally last year was like insanely successful,
feel like
very fruitful indeed. Personally, it was my worst year ever. Mm. So yeah, I spoke to the GP, have been signed off for a little bit of time, which has been really helpful actually just in the recovery time. December just feels like an enormous blur because I think it was the come down of just stopping everything and then starting. So I started taking sertraline, originally 50 mils, and I've gone up to 100 mils, milligrams. So I've definitely felt within maybe like the last week and a bit, it's definitely leveled out now. So I am feeling a lot better than I was, but I'm still having kind of the ups and downs with that still. Like I said to you before we started recording, I feel a bit anxious and a bit flat today, but I think that's maybe because I haven't spoken about it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is why we've been away. I've never taken time off work before. I've been in stressful jobs in the past and never needed it. Never felt like I needed medication. So it was definitely quite an awakening, we should say.
Do you think, I haven't asked you this yet, but obviously, like you said, everyone's been hearing how stressful your year's been every single episode, which has been like bi-weekly, so every 2 weeks. So that's a long period of time where you had been stressed.
Yeah.
Do you felt like you needed to get to a certain point before you spoke to the GP about getting signed off? Like, why do you think there could have been anything that could have stopped it getting as bad as it did?
There were several times last year actually where I was close to speaking to the GP about it, because I felt like I'd reached capacity with stuff and just pushed through it. And I mean, the joke of it all is that we finished season 2 with an episode called Over and Burnout.
Oh, yeah.
And that was August.
Was it?
And at that point, I'd already considered it twice.
Mm.
But I think the way that professionally stuff was going on, it was coming in waves. So I think I was connecting my ability to manage stuff with that rather than how I actually was feeling personally. And was just like, well, I've finished this bit now, so I've got a few weeks rest time and then it'll, you know, pick up again, but it's fine. And I'll be able to like manage the waves of it all. But actually, I wasn't paying attention to the personal side of it, which was actually that I didn't like who I turned into last year personally and the way I was managing things and coping with things. So I probably should have spoken to the GP a lot sooner, to be fair, because, yeah, maybe it wouldn't have got to the point it did. But then also I think I don't think I'd have started medication any sooner because I don't think I'd hit that point when I realised that yet. So I don't know. I think it's a combination of things, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, say, if someone else is thinking like that at the minute, but they don't think. Because obviously when we talked about mental health, again, similar to you, before I reached out for support, I felt like I wasn't as bad as you should have been to get help, kind of thing, until it was the worst case scenario. Yeah. But then at that point, it was almost like speak to someone or die, basically.
Yeah.
So, and it's a horrible place to be in. So in terms of like recognizing the signs, I know right now where I am at the minute, I know I'd definitely be able to kind of get a sense of the signs and have those conversations with people around me, say like my boss or whoever, if I had a job. So I'm just thinking for the future, do you think you'd be able to recognize that?
I think that's the issue that I didn't recognize it this time because I've never been to this level before.
Sure, yeah.
I thought I like reached the lowest I could be previously, so I thought I understood what that was like, whereas actually it was just like I've never identified with or thought I had depression, for example, because I've always managed to flow with the emotions I've got, and if I feel down, I kind of I'm okay being in that space because I know I can get back up, whereas I like lost that ability last year and didn't realize for months and months and months. And also, obviously, I know halfway, well, three quarters through the year, I made the decision to go back to therapy. So I was taking steps to try and address it. But at that point, I just don't think it was enough. Because, like, as I say, the therapy's been incredible. And the therapist I've got at the minute has just been, like, the best I've ever had. She's incredible. But it still wasn't enough.
And also, we do talk about this, but therapy is exhausting. It's so exhausting. So it's not as though you could, because how long had it been since you'd stopped therapy before going back? Over a year, right?
Maybe longer.
Yeah.
Over like so 18 months maybe.
You had all this kind of stuff you still needed to kind of get to the bottom of. And then starting that at the same time, it just seems like it is a lot, and that will have overwhelmed you even more and just made things a lot worse.
I think one thing I will say though, because I know this has been a few people close to me have said this, when I've said about being burnt out or had a lot on or feeling stressed, they always say like, take a break from the podcast, like it's not essential. And I just have to say that this, all of last year was like the thing that kept me sane. Well, until the end. But it was the one thing that I've never felt stressed with this. It's always been a joy and it's been an outlet to talk about stuff in a way that I don't speak about it in other situations, because this is the space that it is. And not because I don't want to talk about it in other ways, it's just the way that it happens to work in this sort of environment. So, and I mean, I've obviously considered it myself as well, to be like, well, why should, we've discussed it, like, do I need to be doing this alongside other stuff? But this is not a drain in any way. This is, if anything, a huge support amongst everything else. So yeah, but I am doing better now, going back to work shortly. Obviously medication's leveling out and I'm feeling a lot better, and I'm glad that last year has finally disappeared, because peace out, honestly, never again.
You always go on fucking yapping in my ear about another thing that helps you all the time.
Fortnite?
No. Although that is, yeah.
My PlayStation?
Music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the person we've had on today. Oh, there we go. I
see where the link is.
Yeah. The person we've had on today is just, you bloody love her, don't you?
Honestly.
I've only been introduced to her recently and I am now indoctrinated, absolutely. But you have been, yeah.
Honestly, I was just so gagged when we managed to get it. She has last year been, again, just like another savior, pop icon. Not even just from my point of view. If you check any of the 2021 review lists, she's either single of the year mm-hmm. or album of the year. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of The Guardian, she's both.
Wow.
So the power that she has is unmatched at this point.
Yeah.
Her music has, since her first album, Compliments Please, came out in 2019, I've been a big fan. She's just, and we discussed it in the interview, just incredible songwriting, performer, mm-hmm. the production of all of it. And like, there's just no holds barred. And when she released I Do This All The Time last year, it was just one of them songs that like grabbed me by the throat. Mm-hmm. It was my most played song of the year, as it was many, many other people's as well, because it is just...
Michael Chakraverty spoke about that song as well.
Yeah,
oh my god,
he did. Yeah. That was the one he walks on the beach to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know that she's been a very important person for many, many people, so we're really pleased to have her on. So, here we go. So, thanks for joining us. I guess, firstly, you know, we're starting 2022. How are you feeling, generally?
I'm all right, you know. I'm ready to just get back on with it all. Like, Christmas is fine, isn't it? But it just gets in my way. Because I like working and I like projects moving and
yeah,
everybody having a legitimate excuse to not email me back is, I hate it. But yeah, it's fine.
Being booked and busy.
Yeah, I love it. Nothing I love more than, like, ideas and having them happen. Mm-hmm. And obviously I've been doing that my whole life, but now all these ideas that I've done when no one cared about who I was, they're all ringing back now,
yeah,
wanting me to do them. So I'm just insanely busy and it's all terrifying. But
yeah, I hope you did take a little bit of a break.
I did. So yeah. I went back to my parents. I did the whole all the lockdowns with my parents. Mm-hmm. So I was just back, like, it was like moving back in with my housemates, like, hi. Hi again. We've seen enough of each other, we don't need to do this. But yeah, I did some snoozing.
Good. Okay, so we wanted to, I guess, mainly chat because I'm just a big fan. So this whole thing's just a ploy to get you here.
Yes, I love that.
But also between what you put on socials, the lyrics that you write, your music videos, and also some of the amazing interviews you've done and I've read, you are incredibly open and honest about both yourself and the experiences you've been through. Is this like a learned thing that you've developed over the years or something that you've always had in there?
I don't think I am open. I think I'd feel more weird if I wasn't like this. So when people say, oh, it's so amazing that you're so open, I'm like, oh, cool. Okay, cool. That's just, I think I've always been like it.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy art that isn't, you know, I'm not interested in landscapes or views. I'm interested in like people and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just think, I just live like that. And, you know, it's nice that it's in that, you know, making me some money now. But, like, I was going to be like this anyway.
Because there was a friend I was speaking to kind of in the autumn time, just, I think it was just before the album came out, was saying they got tickets to the Heaven show. She was like, oh, no, I don't know who that is. Kind of give a bit of an explainer and showed one of the songs. She was like, oh, I've heard that on, like, in the studio before. It's been on in the office. It's always like really intense lyrics.
Yeah, man.
So, I think that's one, like, personally for me, that's one thing I always really enjoy, just like no holding back with it.
Yeah, I don't like making background music.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely not that. Amongst, you know, tons of the interviews that you've done, I think it was one of the Guardian ones. There was a quote where you said your therapist is begging you to find the middle ground and try and avoid extremes. This is something I've had to do. And I've been told repeatedly, like friends and therapists have both said it. How are you finding that at the minute?
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I think my intrinsic nature won't do that. but having like paying money to somebody to tell me that weekly means I'm learning it, and it's in my brain a lot, and it does help, you know, to be like, hang on a minute, and that's all therapy has done for me, really, is just help me remember to question what my
fibers
and my bones and my blood, just like the conclusions I jump to naturally. Mm-hmm. I don't think that will ever change. Mm. I think I will always be this quite extreme, like I'm just so hyper emotional. It's like absolutely debilitating.
Mm.
But yeah, it's like therapy has helped me just, it's as simple as that. Like she says to me, you just need some willpower. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm paying for this. Like, but it's right. And then in the moments I need it, I'm like, oh, you just need willpower, you fucking idiot. It's really worked for me to have someone spell it out for me.
I think similarly, I've always told myself, going all out, whichever direction that's in, is like the best way to do it, because at least everything's out there. I'm pushing it to where it needs to be, and the best outcome will come from it. Obviously, it doesn't work like that, but like,
well, the thing is, I think socially, people don't want that from you. I think I've always felt like, why? Well, that's not fair. All these people that have restraint and can live in the middle, why should they reign supreme? You know.
Couldn't be us.
No. And it took a long time for me to be like, accept that about myself and also like that about myself. Because, you know, not to get this very after party chat already, but like, it's like, man, like, fuck these normies. But yeah, I think, I don't know about you, but yeah, my whole life has been very much, can you do less, be less, stop it. And, I just couldn't, and the trying to fit in and the pretending and the acting like a normal quote unquote person was exhausting and gave me a lot of mental health issues and made my life a misery. So yeah, I it's not like I'm pro learning how to be a normie, but I do see that I've benefited from some of the syllabus.
Are you still seeing a therapist now?
I'll see that bitch till she's dead. I am life changer. I've had loads, like since 2012 I've been like, so mom, god help me.
Yeah,
I've been with her for about 5 years now, and she's
okay. That's good.
That's the thing about it, like I think it's so expensive and it feels so ridiculous that a lot of people don't do it, or you see one person and then you fuck it off. Because I've had like seven, and they've all been varied. And only now am I like, oh, this is what therapy is. Yeah. Like, and it's a shame, because I think, you know, absolutely everyone should do it. And it's not normalized, or it's just like not a thing people really do still. But unfortunately, it's like an expensive trial and error that, you know, I mean, I had no choice because I was insane. But I always like, it stresses me out when people go, I tried it and it wasn't for me. And it's like, because that person probably wasn't for you.
Yeah, shouldn't be the end of it, should they?
No, but it's like, I can't pontificate like going like, no, you've got to keep trying, because it's like 60 fucking quid a time. Like, who, you know, and that's the shame. But.
Yeah. I'm in counseling at the minute, and there was a few weeks ago, and the room that we're sat in right now, we've recorded the podcast in. I was made redundant last 2020, and interviewed for a new job, in started the new job, had a really intense year last year. Like, everything's happened in this fucking room. And I got the counseling sessions, they were like, okay, it's all gonna be over Zoom. And I was like, I can't do it in here, please. I can't look at these same fucking walls.
Yeah
I was like, I need to do it in person. I'm like 10 sessions in at this point, and I actually really enjoy it now. It works well for me. And it was maybe halfway through, like five sessions in, she just said something. She was like, well, you know, you don't need to, like, you can view it as doing healing in the space that you were damaged in. And it was like you said, that just one simple little thing. And I was like, huh. And then since then, I've been like happily setting up my desk ready to begin my next session.
I love that. I'm so as soon as you were saying that, I was about to be like, yeah, but you could heal in that space. So yeah, good.
Let's, I'm glad they're therapist.
Yeah, literally. I actually pseudo therapize everyone. Anyone who doesn't go, I'm like, well, what would my therapist say? I'm like, I'm obsessed, man. I am obsessed.
Okay, so it's slightly different. I know you said you weren't open. We think you've been very open about some of the really annoying trolls that you've received and had say shit online. Typically always men. It's something we've covered before on the podcast. We've spoken to a few different people mm-hmm. about, like, especially online abuse against kind of minority groups within that as well. How do you tackle it? Like, how do you find dealing with that?
I mean, it's an ongoing process because I don't really handle it very well yet. And I'm lucky, like, most of the shit I get online is, it's just like free immersive art about what I'm fucking singing about in the first place. So like the sexist sort of misogynistic calling me out for like what I look like and all that. I'm like, well, you know, you're describing what my frustration is with the world. Thank you. You know, I try and frame it as that, as like, cool, thanks for this extra like level of content. But it fucking floors me every time. Honestly, I am, my partner is like, you know, knows if I've had some shit. And it must be frustrating to be around me because it is like how much love I get. And then that one or two.
Yeah.
Will put me in, you know, I don't stop talking about it. Don't stop thinking about it. I'm still thinking about it. This one guy once said, like, saying I can't sing, I've got no skill. And literally, I think about it every time I open my mouth now to sing. And it's like, fuck me. And no amount of, like, it's just a guy with a little cock in, you know, commentary. Yeah. Like, fuck him. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care. It still hurts. But look, it's a numbers game. Like, I used to have 20,000 followers and everything was nice, and now I've got double that or whatever. And as soon as you're like any in front of anybody on the telly or in the magazine or in the paper, if you before I was only you only had to listen to me or hear me or see me if you wanted to, and now the nature of being like slightly more successful is some people don't want me on the telly, and you've just got to. Oh my God. Sunday brunch is the hotbed. I mean, it's quite fun. Like, getting trolled on Sunday brunch is quite fun. But it does. And I don't know. And like I said, it's ongoing for me. I wonder. I mean, I don't. My life hasn't, like, changed, but, like, on the internet, I guess it has. And so I don't sort of notice it. I don't, you know, I'm not famous or anything like that or stuff. But then there is that. Untouchable, you don't really matter anymore vibe from general public that don't understand that I'm still just going to, you know, Tesco and I'm not rich and I'm not famous.
Yeah.
So I'm not the someone that you can be like, she's a this, she's a that. I'm not Kim Kardashian, do you know what I mean? So there is this like, and you know, and also people shouldn't treat Kim Kardashian like that. Like, anyway, that I don't know is my answer. It hurts me and I hate it, but also I've got a brain that's capable of logic, and I'm like, this is what, you know, the more, it is just a numbers game. And for the most part, I get so much love. I get so many people just being just fuck hilarious with me and like lovely. And I feel like everyone is my friend, you know? And so I'm like, fine. If you've just got to get used to it.
I guess on the flip side of that, basically from when the first single for the last album came out, every single review that I read, and like, it got to a point where it was funny. It was like, oh, another 5-star review. And then when, especially when that album came out, it was like every single one, I think there was a 4-star, and I was like, well, that's not okay,
babe, is it? I know. I saw my PR last night and he was like, yeah, I realised like being pissed off at 4 stars is like a really bad precedent to have set for us. And yeah, you know, when I'm like number 7 in album of the year, I'm like, okay, okay, hon. And I feel like, and then I'm like, hang on a minute, you fucking idiot. That would have been amazing last year. Like, stop it. Yeah, I've ruined my career for sure. I can never put any more music out. That's what I'm saying.
Because, yeah, honestly, like, I know Spotify, obviously, the Spotify rap stuff. I do this all the time. It was like my top one. And I knew way beforehand it was going to be. When the 3 videos came out and I saw that you'd done all 3 videos in one day and recorded it and directed them yourself, I was just blown away, like, from the off.
Oh.
Before that, The Best had been one of my favourite songs. We'll get onto the dance routine for that in a little minute. But just, you know, beyond full 5 stars for everything came out your mouth last year and the solo tour, and you also released a book. How has the response to that been?
I don't know, really. People have just been sweet about it, I think. Mm. It's... I enjoyed doing it a bit. Jay, he's published it and edited it, and it was his idea. Like, he was like, what? Because I think of my phone note things as poetry, but... Mm-hmm. And Jay's a big, like, lit head, poet head. And he was like, yeah, and you could do it chronologically. And I was a bit of a nightmare to work with on it, because he worked so hard and sent me the full edit, because he'd gone through all of them and done them mm-hmm. all chronologically. And it took me, honestly, months to look at it. I was really bad, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And you know, when you know you're avoiding something, and you could just be honest and open about it, but you're not. And I was like, anyway, it's because I'm busy. Yeah. And because it's horrible for me to look at it all. But when I finally sat down and did it, I thought, this is cool. This is a book, because you see, it's quite, the chronology is, you see me like... You can tell I'm in Panto in fucking Oxford there. You can tell that my girlfriend's just broke up with me here for a bit. You can tell I'm drinking and going out all the time here. You can tell I'm dating like absolute dickheads of apps here. But then you see, I think you read within the bullshit that you start to see me heal a bit, and you start to see this new mindset I have now. But I'm very like, I don't feel fine, I'm not better, I'm not solved. And I think also the book sort of shows that, and I guess that's my MO a bit, is like, you're never going to be solved. You just got to keep sort of trying to keep going. And yeah, so I like doing it. I think I'm going to write another book, like a more long form thing. And
yeah, that's exciting. How, one of the other things I wanted to ask about, it's not actually in the questions, I saw you'd mention it in various interviews about the process of the album. And one of the things, we came back in
2020
December 2020, so like the end of the first shit year, and every single person we've spoken to since then, we've asked kind of how lockdowns and stuff were for them. You obviously put the album together, didn't you, over lockdown?
Yeah.
And you mentioned that it made the process and the album better.
Yes, I hate to admit it, but enforced sort of patience, which is the only thing, I'm not capable of patience. So they had to, a whole global pandemic is the only way to do it. But yeah, it really made me take my time in a way that I don't usually. And I don't know. If I make another album, it's like, we're going to have to put me in a personal pandemic. I think.
Release some bacteria into the wild.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that won't be hard.
The choreography as well. Did you do all of that?
No, so that's, I have all... a... Speaking of the panto I was in Oxford, aka the worst time of my life, the choreographer there, like day one, Stuart Roger, he's just amazing. And he was choreographing the panto, and he's just fantastic. And I'd already made a video for my first single. And I'd started this idea, because doing dance routines live was absolutely alien in my world. Like, it was like a radical idea that I'd had. And I just love him. I just wanted to spend more time with him. And he's become very much like a creative part of it. He does the choreo. We sometimes modify it, or like sometimes I'm like, that's two steps, Stuart, though. But yeah, for the most part, it's all him. And it's a part of it I adore, which is I sort of give it to him. We don't really talk about it. And then we get in a room and all with the girls, and it's sort of living my dream, if I'm honest. Like, I used to want to be, I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted to be like in musical theatre. I like the fact that my life is learning dances. It honestly, like, is like, pinch me, little girl me, you know, is fucking thrilled. And I just think it's quite funny that I've strong-armed, like bulldozed my life into being there. Because I used to like make up dances all the time, like playing out, and I'd get girls from the like estate round and make them do the dances with me, even whether they wanted to or not. And I'm like, wow, I'm just professionally bullying girls into dancing with me still. But yeah, I love it.
I don't
like we've obviously spoken about the 5-star reviews and stuff. I think the biggest one I'm going to tell you about, this is probably the most important thing out of all of them. The person I came to see you with a heaven didn't know who you were the night that we went. I showed them a couple of the songs and he ended up coming with me. He is like pop girl, big name pop girl, mix, Rihanna, obsessed with them. He was like obsessed with the whole thing. The dance routines, there was a point where you had the pony, the outfit. He is a hard, hard crowd and you like smashed it with him.
Yes! Thank God! Thank God. I love that. I love that when the boys that love the pop girls, when they love me, I'm like, honestly, that's my favourite. Yeah, I know. That and it feels you. So good. I love it. I love it. I love it too much. And when, so I follow loads of boys that love pop girls, and when they talk about anyone else, if they talk about Lord, I'm like, fucking hell, shut up. I get really jealous, but then as long as they're also talking about me, I'm fine.
So you said you like to be busy. It's obviously first week of Jan, no more bank holidays for a while. What have you got coming up for this year?
Like, I mean, it's mad. I'm making the music for a play, so I'm like, and I've never done this before, so I'm like composing music for a play. I've just started it. I rarely feel like this, but I've suddenly was like, you don't know what you're fucking doing, idiot. No, no way. Can you do this? And that's been horrible. So I still don't know what I'm doing, but in the dreams version of this, I'm very good at it, and this is my like backup career, and I do loads of it, and this is how I make money in my sleep. But also, maybe I won't do very well at it, and that'll
it's
be
nice
that.
To be
but
grounded sometimes, isn't it?
Oh yeah. I mean, I honestly, like, I love making records, but the idea of being able to make music that isn't for me to tour, or I just enjoy the process so much, and so that's what I'm doing first. Then I'm touring in March. Then I'm playing literally everyone's festival you can think of, like your stepdad's barbecue. I am playing all through summer. And then we don't know yet. Like, I might tour again, or I'm working on like a play that I might do. And I've got, basically, like I said, like the call, I never got called back before. And I've written like two plays, I've written, you know, all this stuff. And now it's like, hey, do you want to do that play? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay. It's hard because I'm like, well, you didn't want it before. But then I'm also like, yes, please. Thank you. I am very lucky, like creatively, like it's, and I'm very aware that this might not be forever. So I want to prove I could compose something. I want to prove I can write something. And then hopefully going forward into my twilight years, I will always have a job. That's the dream. If I can just age and not be skint, that is ideal.
That's the main aim, isn't it?
But also, you know, from making art, which is you know, I'm so fucking lucky. So few people get to do it. So yeah, busy year, but I love it.
Oh, what a ray of sunshine she is.
You remember that interview, do you?
I will be honest, I do not remember a single minute from that interview. The reason you only hear Matthew's voice is because I was direly hungover. I'd been out in Peckham the previous night and just had lots of Prosecco and wine.
It was his birthday.
It was my birthday, for goodness sake. My 30th birthday. I'm never going to have a celebration ever again. So yeah, thank you for
thanks for letting me fangirl.
Yeah,
and her.
Yeah, she was hungover as well. I don't know if she mentioned, but so you're the only loser here.
I held the whole fucking thing together.
You did. You did fantastic.
But honestly, thank you so so much for chatting to us, and yeah, looking forward to seeing you again in March at Kentish Town Forum. I believe the venue is called. I keep forgetting the name. Another sellout tour, because stunning.
Because why not?
So, because we missed out on our 2021 review episode, we're going to do a very quick fire. Top two highlights of 2021.
Top two highlights. The Mr. Porter shoot. Wow. Can you believe we did that?
Honestly, Glam Squad galore.
Glam Squad, lip gloss, 600 degrees in summer. But that was one of them. And my second one is that we were nominated mm-hmm. for Best Lifestyle and Culture Podcast in the Pod Bible mm-hmm. Awards, which we didn't win, guys. Guys.
But thanks for voting for us, honestly. Thank you. And thanks for, the fact that we were even
I mean, yeah, 100%, that's absolutely great. But can you just hold our hand for a second? We need to mourn that loss. Okay, we're over it. On to the next one.
I will say we were amongst the Guilty Feminist, Talk Art, yeah. Tan Francis podcast.
Tan Francis podcast.
There was some big players in there.
Some huge
the fact
players.
That we were even yeah. rubbing shoulders with those, I'm blown away by.
Me too. But we do mourn.
So I'll echo Mr. Porter.
Yeah.
And that was obviously an enormous highlight for us.
Mm.
I'll also say, that's not one of mine, but I'll just agree. Two of mine. Obviously, it is also one of mine, but I want to add more because there's so many. I would say the first one was being able to do History Month and Pride series. They both, for me, were all of them my favourite, but those specifically, they were able to do them that way.
Yeah.
And second is that we actually... met and formed a very, very, very good relationship with Alistair and Joe Malone.
Oh,
so that for me is a highlight because obviously season 3, when I was sponsored by, we did that great project with them
yes.
for Pride Month.
Yes.
So that for me was a really big highlight as well. So thank you to the team at Joe Malone London. Okay, very quickly, highlight of the week, go.
I want to say, wow,
that was emotional.
Yeah, my highlight of this week goes out to my gorgeous sister Mary. She went freelance and has now started her own thing, her
gorgeous.
Own brand. And so she's based in Polished Nails in Nottingham. And it's like split. It's like a hair salon and nail salon. Mm-hmm. And so she does all the hair there. Mm-hmm. And just really well done, Mary. Mm. She's really on an upward trajectory mm-hmm. and she's doing some amazing things. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the Midlands area or you're willing to travel, go get there and get your hair did.
Oh, that's a good one. Well done. On that theme, my positive thing of the week is my gorgeous boyfriend Sam.
Oh,
released.
He had his hair done.
No, but he just directed and edited and came off this week. Tom Aspel's new single, Let Them, in brackets, It's All Love, bracket closed. And honestly, the most stunning video.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's camp. Mm-hmm. It's like noughties. It's like Adam Rickert and Steps. There's space. There's games. There's all sorts to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a highlight because honestly, I'm so proud of him.
Mm.
He didn't let me see any of it throughout the whole process.
No.
So I had to watch it on the live premiere like everyone else. So much for special privileges, but yeah, congrats to Tom and also Sam and everyone else that was involved because it was a really big team as well. It premiered on Gay Times, so well done to everyone.
Bravo.
And if you want Sound of the Summer, Tom Aspel, Life in Plastic. That's the album.
Fab.
That's us.
That's your lot, honeys.
That is your lot. You've been well fed today.
Yeah, and my goodness, you
we
deserve
did,
it.
Yeah, we did owe you, though.
Yeah, we did owe
you. We left you
hanging.
That was just you.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a gorgeous day out, so we're going to enjoy the rest of the day,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see you in a couple of weeks for the first.
God, I can't believe this is already happening again.
Yeah, of our LGBT History Month episodes.
Wow. We've got a very special set of guests, actually.
Mm-hmm. Slightly different format than last year, which was a different guest every single week.
Two guests every week.
Two guests. Oh my gosh, it was, wasn't it? So we can't. We don't have it in us to do that again. So
you want me to break again?
Yeah. So we're it's going to be a slightly different format, but equally educational, and it's going
to
be fab.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. So stay tuned. That'll be out on the 2nd of February.
Yep.
Wednesday, 2nd of February. We will see you then.
As per, feel free to go over to Apple Podcasts and review us.
Also, Spotify podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
On Spotify, you can now review us. So we would really, really appreciate if you can just slap a little 5-star. But they seem to maybe have the same developer as Apple, only that you do 5 stars. So you're going to
interesting.
You're
going
to have to give
it?
Us 5 stars on Spotify too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. But no, really, it helps us, you know, be heard by other people.
Yeah.
other people to find us, be playlisted, which obviously, yeah.
It's integral to keeping us alive.
Yeah. So thank you again. See you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Brendan.
Oh, for what?
Just being you.
No, be specific, please. What are they?
Being a supportive-ish friend.
Oh.
The queer elder that I can now look up to.
Disgusting.
Oh my god, next episode will be my birthday?
No. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, will.
No.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Okay, we're gonna go.
Yeah. Thank you, Matthew, as well.
Thank you.
For coming back.
Don't forget.
You're doing amazing,
you're
sweetie.
You're doing so amazing, sweetie.
Lots of love. Bye.
Bye now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.